This is a Christian Science prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website mbeinstitute.org. The title to this prayer treatment is America, Land of Freedom and Home of Brave, or Land Stolen. The founding fathers of America talk about the oppression and suppression of freedom in Europe, particularly England, Portugal, Spain, because those are on the coast. And therefore, those are the ones that had the ships that came over here first. So what happened when the sailing ships landed on the East Coast? They were greeted, apparently, very accommodating from the local Indians. But what happened over a period of time? The U.S. had a military that either killed or put the Indians in reservations and stole their land and all the resources that went with them. Gold, silver, coal, any other minerals, oil, gas. Our country, unfortunately, was built not on a solid foundation of Christianity, but on the reverse of the Ten Commandments. We killed, bore false witness, stole. We did everything wrong. And we wonder why the same thing happened to us, that the UK stole, put us into slavery, took over our judiciary, suppressed all of the patents, killed. We received the same treatment that we gave to the Indians. We should be ashamed. Now, obviously, there's many generations that have gone by, but everything we did was wrong. It was against the Ten Commandments, not to mention everything else. Genesis 1, where it says God made man in his image and likeness. What does Habakkuk say about God? God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. How about the Beatitudes? How about the Lord's Prayer? All of these things line up with the definition of God on page 465, 578, and the definition of good on page 578. Elmer Davis is quoted with the following: "This nation will remain the land of the free only so long as it is the home of the brave." Guess what his profession was? He was a journalist, and he was in charge of the information during World War II that was given to the public about the war. And he stayed with us until 1956, so 10 years after the war was settled. And the U.S. was considered as being the winner of the war, with President Dwight Eisenhower being the 5-star general in charge. He was the highest in command and became our president from 1952 to 1960. He warned us about the industrial-military complex controlling America. But he didn't say anything about the fact that we stole America from the American Indians and put them on reservations and killed all but the few that were left. And yet when we came here and landed, the Indians on the East Coast welcomed us and were very friendly and accommodating. And how did we return that warm welcome? Our home page right now is filled with a presentation under the title of Effective Healing. The very first requirement, if one is interested in learning how to heal, in other words, learning how to be free and independent, free from the evils of sin, sickness, disease, and even death. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, and the author of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, she discovered Christian Science in the year 1866, and she tells us on page 146 of the textbook that divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. And on page 330, she says that there are 32 planks in the platform of the system of divine metaphysics, and that if we learn them and live both the letter and the spirit, that we will prove the infallibility of the system of divine metaphysics. In other words, healing will come forth as a byproduct of obeying the laws of God, which is what is stated in the 32 planks. There has been so much emphasis on draining the swamp that no one is addressing the fact that we started off on the wrong foot. We are expecting to get something for nothing, and we stole it so that we'd be sure to get it. We inherited all the wonderful land on what we call America, but the inheritance is made up of violations of the Ten Commandments. We broke them all. We put God last. In fact, totally forgot Him. We did everything wrong. We stole, we killed, we bared false witness, we killed the buffalo, which was the food that the Indians depended on, and the skins to keep them warm and to do other things that they needed to do with leather. So we took their food away and starved them, killed them, stole their land, put them on reservations, and then the greedy ones that were in charge of giving them food in the reservations, because we took away their ability to hunt, and we confined them to the reservation, and we stole all the resources that belonged to them, gold, silver, oil, gas, minerals, coal, cut down forests. We have some of the greatest land in the world because we have the mild West Coast climate, the East Coast, which is rougher. We have desert, mountains, the plains in the middle of the continent, which is very good for agriculture. We've got cold weather, we've got hot weather, we've got in-between weather. Everything is here. And we had an opportunity to be friends. Now, the Indians didn't take very much in the way of resources, and yet we would not share. We would just steal. What happens when someone breaks the laws of the universe? Is it a shortcut to heaven? Or is it a train that's been thrown totally off the track and went into the precipice? How did we build the railroads? We used slave labor from the Orient. How did we build up the agriculture in the southern states? We used slave labor from Africa. The UK captured the people from South Africa and sent them over here so they could have cheap agricultural products, as well as the fabrics from raising cotton. So we really are responsible for putting the black people on reservations in the South, making them slaves where they got no income. They just got food and shelter and clothing. Is it any wonder that Mary Baker Eddy said that if Christian Scientists don't do their work, that we will face the greatest dark ages civilization has ever known, and it would be the longest and most intense? Do you think she may have been including in that? That we better make what was wrong right. She was a woman with great foresight. And not only that, knew what had been done wrong. Women had no rights when she discovered Christian Science. She couldn't vote. She couldn't hold property in her name. She said it would be wonderful if someday women wouldn't be treated on an equal level, just like she defined God. And we're supposed to be reflecting God, as it states in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. It says, "And God made man in his image and likeness." And then God gave man dominion over all the earth, even the fowl of the air, the fish in the water. In contemplating the draining of the swamp and the progress that's been made, the thought occurred to me, why is there a swamp? Where did it come from? Why are we going through this experience? It became clear instantly that we've violated every rule in the book. Now, our generation didn't necessarily do it, but our generation includes the swamp creatures. that have gotten worse and worse over the last 100 years. In fact, more than 100 years. Really goes back to about 1880, when they substituted the original Constitution of 1879 with a later one. And then they started in 1913 the Federal Reserve. It's not a federal organization or federal agency, nor is it a reserve. It's money that has been stolen from the taxpayers by the bankers founded in the UK and also some of the wealthier ones in the US that control the oil. The politicians in the Congress, which includes both the Senate and the House of Representatives, 435 in the House and 100 in the Senators, so 535, and they freely vote for war, because war is a money laundering operation. It's to try to steal land from other people. And the reason the president of the U.S., the good one, the one that's in office right now, the reason he has been involved in meddling in other countries, particularly in Venezuela and Mexico and Canada, regarding in Cuba, these are centers of great evils. The center of the cartels was in Venezuela. They really controlled the Mexico cartels. Our government has been very corrupt. They drugged the American population by letting the cartels bring the drugs in here, and then the pharmaceutical companies charge us 10 to 20 times for the same drugs that they're selling in other countries, which don't do anything but hook the users of them where they can't get along without them. Look at the medical industry. It's paid off by the drug companies. The drug companies have salesmen that visit all the doctors to persuade them to prescribe the drugs. So the doctors are paid by the drug companies to prescribe the drugs that are 10 to 20 times the price that those same drugs are priced in other countries. And the third largest loss of life in America is from medical mistakes in hospitals. Look it up. Recommend you use StartPage, StartPage, instead of the one that begins with a G, which is up at the top of the list of corruption. And the president is doing some wonderful things by cleaning out the corruption. And what do you think Iran is? Iran is the center of where the swamp keeps their records and apparently their gold, under the Strait of Hormuz. So bombing them is not in an attempt to kill the innocent people of the countries, and there's very little collateral damage because of the technology in the wars of mass destruction these days, where they can pinpoint where any weapon, ammunition, and so forth hits. Any missiles, any drones. I mean, it is highly engineered. And with the strong union between the wealthiest man in the world, you all know who he is, and our president, they're using the technology of the system of navigation that is the most superior that exists to be able to pinpoint exactly where we want to put the things to destroy what we want to destroy with almost no human casualties. But then what do the both elected and unelected officials that are running the government, and I'm not talking about the present administration who was elected, who's helping to drain the swamp in a big way with the military, but I'm talking about the swamp characters. They vote for the men to go to war. And they come back with broken families, their own capability broken. Many of them are unemployed. Some are living on the street. So we send innocent people away that have no capability of resisting it, because we've got a military that will back up whatever the laws are about drafting people and sending them to war. But the innocent people that are sent to war have nothing to do with the decision, because the whole election system is corrupt. So even if good people are voted for, the elected people are the swamp. The people running the country are the swamp. Edmund Burke, and we have this quote on our home page. Edmund Burke, about 300 years ago, said, "Evil triumphs when good men do nothing." What does that tell us? Good men know there are things that need to be done, but they don't do it. We don't do it. Some of the politicians try to claim that they are Indians because we give some special treatment to them. And I know one large area that I traveled through in a motorhome, and they had regular industries in there, and the federal government had no authority. So there was some good things that came out of the reservations, but of course, that's like a tiny little bit of good among a whole sea of evil. So the very first thing, if somebody wants to learn how to heal, is to realize that there must be something better than what their life is right now. For one thing, they could realize that the way we've treated the ones that lived here as their home when we first came here from other countries, or our forefathers, you know, many generations ago, 200 years ago, in fact, more than that, 600 or 700 years ago. 1492 is a date that's supposed to be celebrated, but there were people here before that that came on their own. So the very first thing we have to know is that there's got to be something better, even if we don't know what it is, than what we're dealing with in our lives right now. And the second thing is that we have to reverse the attitude that we had when we came to America, our forefathers, of course, not us, from taking to giving. Giving. If we came here and then had people in here, we should be giving to them. If they let us stay and be friendly, instead of killing them, stealing from them, taking the resources out of the ground, in addition to stealing their food or killing their food and stealing their land, we should have asked for permission if we could stay. We shouldn't have killed a single one of them. How would we like it if in the land where we were born, people came from a foreign land and took over our country and killed us, stole from us, put us on reservations? That's exactly what the immigrants are planning to do. The illegal aliens. The illegal immigrants. It's exactly the plan. Yeah, they plan to take over America. And if we do nothing, that's exactly what will happen. Do the politicians ever send their children, you know, young adults, to war? No. No, they keep them safely at home. The Bible says we should tithe. That means a tenth part. If you were an average student in school, that's where you should begin, with a tenth part. How can you give? What is the composition of your body? Think of your body as everything about you. Everything you think, say, and do is reflected in our body. That's the truth. Nikola Tesla, the genius that discovered that all the energy that we need on planet Earth is free. He couldn't implement that because of the swamp. They collect big fees for selling us electricity that we don't need because we could have it free. We don't need to buy paid electricity. We could have it free. And that may be available before very long. All of Tesla's discoveries ended up in the hands of our president after passing through his uncle's hands, who was one of best friends with Nikola Tesla. Our president's uncle was the top professor at MIT on electricity. And of course, that was the specialty of Nikola Tesla. Hence, he's the one that ended up with the documents. And that's now in the hands of our president. There are 6,000 patents, apparently, just from Nikola Tesla, from around 1900 to around the mid-1950s. So 50, somewhere around 55 years. So he was doing a little over 10 a year. So do we want to cultivate a life of giving? What kinds of things are you capable of giving? How about a smile when you walk down the street? A genuine smile. And it can be genuine if you only think about the good things in your life and convert them to spiritual qualities. If you just moved into a new home or a used home that better meets your need, that's love. Love is supply. there's really nothing of value that is outside of the realm of God. So anything of value in your life, have you ever smelled a wonderful flower that was fragrant? Have you ever eaten something that was very tasty? Have you ever looked upon something that was beautiful? Say a landscape or a beautiful sky at night? Have you ever heard beautiful music? That's hearing. Hearing is a quality of God. Have you ever been able to correctly identify something that was very important to something about your life? That's spiritual sense. If it was under the category of something good and godlike, we have so many things to be grateful for without even talking about money. Do you have any talents? Were you in any kind of a profession, or are you in any kind of a profession or an avocation? If you don't have a skill, you're probably not going to have the job very long. So you probably have skills. Is it something you can teach someone else that is out of a job so they can learn what you are doing and do it for themselves? Is it something they're interested in? Something they have the skill for? If not, maybe you need to consider something different. Everyone is unique. Have you been active in your local politics? If you're a good individual and striving to live as did Jesus, by loving and giving instead of taking and hating. So if you're loving and giving, that's a good characteristic, and you could be a good example. That's giving. Anything that you're doing is a God activity is giving. I saw a quote, and we're going to be putting it up on the home page, and it says that when you pass on, you can take anything with you you want to take, if it's what you've given away. But if it's what you have taken, everything is left behind. Do you have any children? Are you devoting one-on-one time with them? How about your wife or husband? Do you spend one-on-one time with them? Do things that prove that you really care about them? And the same with your children? Do you follow how well they're doing in school? And if they need help, have you thought about sitting down an evening and showing them how to solve the problems that they're working with? If we really think about it, there are tons of ways we can give. Do you use a computer or a cell phone? Do you use any software that is free? They're free versions. Have you thought about, instead of just taking it and run with it, of making a donation to the company that's giving it for free, or the individual? Sometimes the only money they get is from donations. They may have decided that they want to devote their full time to giving things to other people. And depending on the ones who receive it and value it, do the right thing. Do you criticize anyone about anything under any circumstance? Or are you the holy grail that walks around in pants or dress or skirt or whatever and think that you are the greatest individual on earth? There are 1,440 minutes in a day. if we divided those up into what is defined as the smallest amount of time, which is a moment, can't be a mathematical expression, because then it could always be divided again. But if it's taken out of the math and put into the alphabet, then we can assign it something that is greater than what the numbers can express. For example, you cannot express infinity with a number. Here's a warning that you should carefully consider. The people that are corrupt in the non-profit organization entities, and one of them is the United Nations, they advertise that if you give $5, you can buy one meal for one child. And of course they show a video where the children look like they haven't eaten in a very long time and are very thin, do not look like they're in any kind of health that will let them continue to live. They show such pathetic children. And yet these are the same children that they abuse from one end to the other. They steal them. They sell them. They do rotten things. None, or not more than 5%, of the money that anyone gives to those organizations, the one I'm referring to is called UNICEF, UNICEF, by the United Nations, and it's supposed to be to help children that are in need. But they help themselves. The politicians that vote to have the money spent to help the country. The effective healing presentation tells you everything you need to do step by step if you want to become a healer. If you want to be able to solve every problem through spiritual means, all you have to do is follow the details that are outlined in that presentation entitled Effective Healing. Right now, a copy of that is on the home page. But it's been up there for a while, so I'm not sure how long we're going to keep it from this date. But think about the ways that you can give. And think about, do you think that there's a better way to live where your life would be more rewarding than what it is right now? That's the kind of thinking that opens your thought. You don't even think about a way to get around the problem. You need to think about the solution. Your focus should be on the solution. And what is the solution? In a few words, the solution is becoming more like Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy, Wentworth Winslow, Frederick L. Rawson, Joel Goldsmith, anyone that could heal instantaneously. Cultivate the qualities that they cultivated, the qualities that they lived. You can do it. God made everyone, or revealed everyone. We've always been, we just haven't been in this form. If you have any doubts about being able to improve your life, read the last 101 pages in the textbook. Everything is available on the website. You have in front of you 486 different healings. They've all been published in the Christian Science periodicals while Mary Baker Eddy was still with us in physical form, invisible form. The title to this prayer treatment is America, Land of Freedom and Home of Brave, or Land Stolen. Anyone that steals is a coward, the opposite of being brave. Brave is knowing what is right to do, and you do it. You don't sit around waiting for someone else to do it. You do it. If everyone had that kind of an attitude, we wouldn't have a single injured veteran, let alone one that was dead. We wouldn't have a single unemployed or any individuals living out on the street because they have nowhere else to go. If every family took one individual in need under their umbrella, it would cure all the problems. And if we treated other nations like we would like to be treated, there would never be another war. In 1898, Mary Baker Eddy conducted her final class in the Metaphysical College. Everyone in that class was individually invited by Mary Baker Eddy. They were obviously her most advanced students. At the end of the third day, she gave them an assignment to go out and perform a healing and come back the next morning and report on it. Every single individual in her class did it. She had 100% success. We give absolute step-by-step instructions on how to learn how to heal. We give you everything except the desire, and that's up to you. In that final class, she gave them 7 prayers. They're all entitled Diapason of Heaven, and each one of them has a separate focus of the 7 synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And we show you how the first step in Genesis chapter 1, which is mind, where he says that he provided light, you need to say whatever you said at the time in all your notes. You should keep them in a good manner. They can be very valuable. Everything begins with mind. Not a human brain, but the one and only mind of God. Therefore, I shall recite to you the first one of the 7 synonymous terms, which is on the topic of mind. If any further thought comes to me before the end of that prayer, or even if before I start it, which is often the case, after I say amen, I'll wait a few seconds and then provide the answer to our highest understanding of any query that you made. So here is the Diapason of Heaven with a focus on mind by Mary Baker Eddy. Mary Baker Eddy begins with a quote that she has in Miscellaneous Writings on page 206. The real Christian Scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this Diapason of Heaven. Good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. That's the end of the quote, and I shall continue with the prayer treatment. We can declare often, "Divine mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all acting, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and matter and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. God is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the word of God. We have to change the subjective thinking we have of these seven names from personal sense to spiritual sense and see ourselves and others as spiritual individualities, not personalities. This way is the only way. It is the way the Bible characters walked with God and ascended. Amen. Mary Baker Eddy recommended that we comprise a model that is a perfect thing to think about every hour of the day. She recommended that we set aside some time every hour, whether it's a minute or two or 3 minutes, some short period like that. And during that time, to self-examine our consciousness to make sure that we are not thinking ill about anyone or anything, past, present, or future. Be all-inclusive. And then after doing that for a moment, then consider the model that you thought of that you're going to use until you decide you're going to revise it, which could be tomorrow. That's one of the beauties of reading things, our own thoughts, and then listening to them. This is all part of the process that's on the homepage under Effective Healing. And we will learn a lot from what we say. If our thought is open to the consciousness of God, ideas from the textbook and our other writings in the Bible will flow right into our thought. You will be creating a prayer treatment that is your best understanding of what you're learning. The textbook is full of things that you can easily utilize. Chapter 14 is a summary of the first 13 chapters. Chapter 17 is a glossary. A lot of definitions in there, 144 of them. And include in your model that what you are learning about God applies to you, because you are the image and likeness of God. God is perfect, therefore you are perfect. God doesn't have any problems, therefore you could not have any problems. Claim it. Claim your perfection. say this applies to me. The truth about man applies to me. That's the end of the additional thought. It is Saturday, August 1, 2026, at 18:54. Thank you for listening. The end.